Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're continuing with our literature unit for the month of May. Our featured work of literature is Three Musketeers, a French novel depicting the events in France around 1625 or so. At least that's when the author was born. But in any case, this book is all about heroism and adventure and deceit and lying and intrigue and stuff like that. If you're into those sorts of things, you should read this book. But today we're actually going to talk about the novelist himself or the author. His name is Alexandre Dumas.
Alexandre Dumas. Yeah, we're going to go back and talk about his background, his life story. This is usually my favorite part of the three-day units, is to talk about the author himself or herself and to find out how they grew up, how they got into writing. I just think it's really interesting to hear about people's background and maybe what their family was like. You know, our background does shape us and usually has a big impact on what we end up doing for a living. So we're going to go ahead and talk about him. And as we always do, we're going to read through this first. Alexandre Dumas was born in 1802 in Villers-Cotterêts, France. His grandmother was a black West Indian former slave, and his father was a general in Napoleon's army. Dumas's father died when Dumas was four. As a fatherless child of mixed race ancestry, Dumas had a lack of educational opportunities, and his family suffered financially. At the age of 17, Dumas worked in a lawyer's office, and later as a clerk for the Duke of Orléans, the future king. During this time, Dumas met famous theater actors and playwrights and decided to become a playwright himself. At first, his plays were unsuccessful. But then one of them, Henry III and his court, 1829, brought him great fame. In 1830, a political revolution in France disrupted Dumas's playwriting. But he wrote memoirs and travelogues of his journeys around Europe for the next 12 years. Throughout his life, Dumas had numerous mistresses and at least four illegitimate children, one of whom was Alexandre Dumas Fils, who also became a playwright and novelist. Dumas married actress Ida Ferrier in 1840, and they separated 4 years later. Dumas collaborated with author Auguste Maquet to write historical adventure novels about French history. In 1844, Dumas's most famous work, The Three Musketeers, was published in serial form. Each chapter left readers eager for the next installment, and Dumas wrote several sequels to the story due to popular demand. His famous novel, The Count of Monte Cristo, was also published in 1844. In all, Dumas wrote about 260 works. He became extremely rich, but squandered his wealth on a lavish lifestyle, leading to bankruptcy. He fled to Belgium in 1851 to escape his creditors and died penniless in 1870 at Dumas Fils's estate in France.
Okay, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. Again, we're talking about the author of The Three Musketeers. So the author's name, of course, is Alexandre Dumas, and he was born in 1802 in Villers-Cotterêts.
Okay,
good enough. That's French there. We're not teaching French in today's lesson. So let's just say that he was born in 1802 in a village in France.
Okay,
that's good enough for us. I wanted to
mention something here. This name Alexander in French is Alexandre, right? It sounds like the girl's version of this name. My best friend is Alexandra, which is D-R-A at the end. But in French, it actually sounds like the English version of the female form, Alexandre Dumas. But anyway, Moving on.
Yeah, I think they mixed the E and the R. They changed the places
Switch
of
them
those
around, yeah.
In French and English. But in any case, this is a guy here. This is a boy.
Yeah.
And his grandmother was a black West Indian former slave, and his father was a general in Napoleon's army. So his grandmother was black. She was a slave, at least a former slave, mm-hmm. from the West Indies. Those are islands in the Caribbean Sea, you know, Cuba, uh-huh. Jamaica, Puerto Rico, etc. Those are all islands in the West Indies. So she used to be a slave, but not anymore. So he's got black blood there, African blood. And then his father was a general in Napoleon's army. I must assume that that's a white guy. So this is a person of mixed heritage, biracial, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And Dumas' father died when Dumas was four. Excuse me, Dumas. The S, is, I guess, is silent in French there. So he lost his father when he was only 4 years old. So he probably did not remember his father very much.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky last name, too, because it's French and it's Dumas. But if you make it possessive and talk about something that belongs to him, like his father, you have to say Dumas's father. So it's a little tricky, guys, but that's French for you. He was a fatherless child, so he still had his mom, but his dad had passed away when he was quite young, four. And like Tom said, he was biracial. Bi is two, it means two. So he was a mixed race kid. Your ancestry are the people that you came from, your earlier relatives. So those are the people you descended from. So he was of mixed race ancestry. Now, Dumas had a lack of educational opportunities and his family suffered financially. Since his dad was already gone and he was the white portion of that mixed race, he was living with his mom who was black, and so he didn't have the opportunities to get the same kind of education that the white children back then got. And as a result, his family suffered financially. So if you talk about financial things, it all has to do with money. And it could either have to do with your company's, you know, financial dealings with people, or in your own personal finances. We could use the word finances here, meaning he just didn't have enough money. His family didn't have enough money to pay their bills and live comfortably, and so they suffered.
So they had financial problems, or as it says here, he suffered financially. Now, at the age of 17, or when he was 17 years old, Dumas worked in a lawyer's office and later as a clerk for the Duke of Orléans. I hope I said that right. This Duke of Orléans would be the future king, so I guess he could put that on his resume. Hey, I worked as a clerk for the king at one point, although he wasn't the king when I worked for him, but he later became the king. So, hey, that's still something, you know. So those were some of his early part-time jobs there, probably full-time, working in a lawyer's office and as a clerk for the Duke of Orléans. Now, during this time, when he was young, at the age of 17, Dumas met famous theater actors and playwrights and decided to become a playwright himself. So, yes, he was probably working for these people, and for some reason that gave him the opportunity to meet actors and playwrights who were working in the theater, actors who would, you know, perform on stage. They didn't have movies at the time, so they had to do everything live. And, of course, the people who write those plays are playwrights, like Shakespeare, of course, is probably the most famous playwright in the world. So he decided, hey, I like to write plays, too. That sounds kind of fun to put on these plays and give the lines to all those actors and actresses.
If you write plays for the stage or a playwright, if you write something for theaters, that's going to be a film, you're a screenwriter. And if you write fictional novels, you're a novelist. So there are lots of different names for people who have a career writing, whatever that might be. So at first his plays were unsuccessful. Usually when you first start out, you're not very good and you gain skills as you keep trying and you improve. But then he had one play that really did well, Henry III and His Court, which was published in 1829 or written then, and brought him great fame. So people began knowing his name. They enjoyed what he did. And in 1830, of course, a political revolution in France disrupted Dumas's playwriting. But he wrote memoirs and travelogues of his journeys around Europe for the next 12 years. I'm sure some of our listeners know about the revolution that took place in France. And when you're having a civil war inside your country, it's kind of tough to make a regular living. You have to do what you can. He escaped by just taking journeys around Europe and writing about what he saw. So if you look at this sentence, a political revolution in France disrupted Dumas's playwriting, you know that it wasn't smooth sailing, you could say, at this point in his life. If something disrupts you, it just means something is getting in the way of what you're doing. Sometimes when I was young, I would be trying to do my homework at home, and one of my little brothers and sisters would come and, you know, want to play or do something. They were disrupting me because they took my attention away from what I was doing. Well, this revolution, of course, would have disrupted his writing, but he got around that by writing memoirs and travelogues. These are really popular, especially back then, to write this sort of thing. A memoir is something you write about your own life, your own life story. Maybe it's not your full life history. It's not an autobiography because it's not very long, but it could be just parts and sections of your life you want to remember. And then a travelogue talks about the places you've gone to see. I still think we have travelogues today. People will write on blogs about countries they've visited, or maybe they write an article for the newspaper about a place they've been to, encouraging readers to go check it out themselves.
That's right. And if you're lucky, of course, you can have travel blogs and you can find sponsors and you could pretty much travel for the rest of your life and post stuff on the internet and live a really comfortable life. So in any case, things were kind of disrupted in France there. It was kind of a mess there. So I said, what the heck? I'm going to travel to other countries in Europe. I'm going to write memoirs and novels and travelogues while I'm traveling around Europe. And he did that for a period of 12 years. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天的文章一刚开始介绍这本书的作者亚历山大大仲马，他是1802年出生于法国，祖母以前是黑奴，父亲则是拿破仑军队的将军。在这里呢，父亲很早在四岁的时候就过世了。第一段的中间的句子提到 ,As a fatherless child of mixed race ancestry,Dumas had a lack of educational opportunities, and his family suffered financially. 在这里提到呢，因为是一名没有父亲的混血儿，在这里 mixed race 指的呢就是混血的意思， ancestry 也就是祖先的一个总称。那么大仲马他就缺乏了接受教育的机会，而家庭的经济呢也非常的不好。我们来看一下 lack 这个名词常常出现在这里，是当作名词的用法，欠缺不足的意思。举个例子来说， He cannot buy it because of his lack of money. 他因为缺钱而买不起这个东西。同样的拼法 lack也可以当作动词，解释成为缺少、没有的意思。I don't seem to lack anything. 我好像什么东西也不缺乏。要注意到它当不同的词性有不一样的用法哦。接着我们来看到第一段中间提到他17岁的时候的际遇。During this time, Dumas met famous theater actors and playwrights.And decided to become a playwright himself. 17岁的时候，他认识了许多的名戏剧演员跟剧作家，所以他就自己也决定要成为一名剧作家。第一段的最后一句提到 ,In 1830, a political revolution in France disrupted Dumas' playwriting. but he wrote memoirs and travel logs of his journeys around Europe for the next 12 years. 1830年的时候，法国发生了一场政治革命，使得大仲马呢就没有办法继续撰写剧本。在这里我们用了 disrupt 这个动词， disrupt 有使混乱、使中断的意思。举个例子来说，暴风雨使电话中断，你就可以说 The heavy storm has disrupted telephone service. 而呢，他没有办法写剧本，所以在接下来的12年间，他就撰写着欧洲旅程的回忆录以及游记。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about the life and times of Alexandre Dumas. So, yes, he traveled around Europe and wrote memoirs and travelogues. And throughout his life, or all through his life, Dumas had numerous mistresses and at least 4 illegitimate children, one of whom was Alexandre Dumas Fils. That means the second, basically his son who had the same name, who also became a playwright and novelist. So this guy was having fun with the ladies out there. He had lots of mistresses. You probably couldn't do that nowadays because you'd get in trouble. Your reputation would probably be ruined if you had more than one lover. But he had children that were illegitimate, which means they were born out of wedlock. He was not married at the time these children were born.
His parents weren't married at the time he was born.
Right, so these are illegitimate children, and one of them actually became a writer himself, and this writer actually had the same name as Alexandre Dumas.
Yeah, so he was, as Tom said, Alexandre Dumas the second, you could say, and he became a playwright and novelist. Remember, a novelist is someone who writes novels of fiction. Dumas married actress Ida Ferrier in 1840. He did try to do, you know, the right thing and get married at some point, but they separated 4 years later. I think with social media these days, there's no way you could get away with having all these mistresses and a wife and kind of a mess. I wanted to mention back then in history, if you were illegitimate, it was very shameful. And oftentimes, the illegitimate kids would be given away to orphanages or would never inherit anything from their father when he passed away. So it was a tough life sometimes. Dumas collaborated with author Auguste Maquet to write historical adventure novels about French history. I love historical fiction. That's my favorite category or genre of writing, where the story's fictional and yet it's set in a time in history and the events surrounding those fictional characters are accurate and true. He would write historical adventure novels, so they would add a little adventure in there with the fiction and the historical accuracy. I don't know this guy, Auguste Maquet, but you might want to look into him if you're interested. In 1844, Dumas's most famous work, The Three Musketeers, was published in serial form. This was often how a book appeared back then. It was very, very difficult, very expensive to actually publish a whole novel. And so what a lot of these writers would do was they would submit a chapter or two at a time to a newspaper or a magazine that was published more frequently. And that's how the book actually first came out. So people would be very excited waiting for the next installment. Serial here just means something that happens regularly, and it usually consists of something coming out, you know, in regular intervals. For example, a serial TV show would be a TV show that is on once a week, right? And the same story is continued from week to week. Same characters, same story, but different adventures.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, of course, my mother would always say, okay, Tom, you got to be quiet because I'm going to watch my serial now. She was referring to soap operas, which would have an episode every day and the story would continue forever, day after day, like As the World Turns.
A serial drama, yeah.
Or Guiding Light or All My Children, One Life to Live, etc. Those are all American soap operas, also sometimes called serials.
I watched General Hospital as
General
a kid.
Hospital, I remember that. Luke
yeah.
and Laura and stuff like that.
But Laura and Luke.
Indeed. So these were published, I guess, in different editions of newspapers, and each chapter left readers eager for the next installment. Gee, what's going to happen next? I can't wait for the next edition of the newspaper to come out so I can read the next installment. Installment just means the next part of a long story. And Dumas wrote several sequels to the story due to popular demand. So people loved the Three Musketeers so much that they said, hey, we need to hear more about these heroes. Please write more. So he wrote sequels. A sequel, of course, is a story that happens after the main story.
I wanted to mention, for those of you out there that have mortgages or car payments, you haven't paid off your car in full, those monthly payments that you're required to make are called installments. So you will see this if you're looking into doing, if you're getting a loan for something. So he did write several sequels to the story. We also use sequels to talk about movies. So, you know, Star Wars 1, Star Wars 2, they have different names. But same characters, the story goes on, so you kind of need to see the first movie, and then the others that follow are called the sequels. Don't call the original movie a sequel. It's the ones that follow. Those are sequels. His famous novel, and really my favorite of his novels, is The Count of Monte Cristo, which was made into a movie, and I think it was on TV, though, made into a TV movie, back probably in the 90s. Anyway, the two actors who play the romantic leads are gorgeous. So if you get a chance to see that, check it out. That one was published in 1844.
And in all, you could also say in total, Dumas wrote about 260 works. So those would include probably plays and, you know, travelogues and memoirs and novels. And that's a lot of writing there. So if you do actually enjoy his writing, you have a lot to read there. He published all sorts of stuff. And again, since he wrote so long ago, probably that stuff is in the public domain, which means it's available for free out there somewhere. All you have to do is find the website. Myself, I would go to, is it Project Gutenberg or something like that? They've got lots of free electronic books there from famous authors that are all in the public domain. And, of course, because he wrote so much, he became extremely rich. But he was a fool. He squandered his wealth on a lavish lifestyle. So here, squander just means you waste something, especially if you're supposed to keep it or if you're supposed to protect it. So he squandered it. He wasted his wealth because he wanted to have this lavish lifestyle. Lavish means luxurious. You buy expensive cars. You go on expensive holidays. You buy expensive clothes, etc. You put on really expensive parties. And I think they said that Michael Jackson did that too. He lived a lavish lifestyle and spent a lot of money.
Yeah, and if you go bankrupt, we talk about going bankrupt or filed for bankruptcy, it just means you are telling the government that you can no longer pay your bills. You've borrowed too much money and you can't pay it back. And it really destroys your credit. So don't do that, guys. You go bankrupt or file for bankruptcy is the way we actually phrase that. He fled to Belgium in 1851. That's a country over there in Europe, to escape his creditors. Those are the people you borrow money from. If you have a loan, the person you got the loan from is your creditor. And if you can't pay back what you owe, this creditor could come and take back the house that you got the loan for, or take back the car that you got the loan for. So be careful. He died penniless, meaning he died very, very poor, which is sad because he made so much money. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
今天文章的第二段记录的是大仲马他的情史，不过我们先来看到第三段讲到的他一些作品。第三段的第二个句子提到 In 1844, Dumas' most famous work, The Three Musketeers, was published in serial form. 1844年的时候呢，大仲马最著名的这个作品呢，就是《三剑客》，他以连载的形式出版。在这里 serial 当作是形容词，可以解释成为连续的、一连串的意思。有时候我们去银行提新钞，会有着连着顺序的号码，我们就可以说 serial numbers。 接着继续看到后面的句子提到 His famous novel The Count of Monte Cristo was also published in 1844。 另外一本著名小说《基督山恩仇记》也是在西元1844年出版。最后两个句子提到 He became extremely rich, but squandered his wealth on a lavish lifestyle, leading to bankruptcy. 他呢变得非常的富有，但是他用奢华的生活方式挥霍他的财富，到最后他呢就破产了。我们来看一下 squander 在这里呢当作动词，有浪费的意思， a lavish 则是奢华的意思， bankruptcy 则是有破产倒闭。我们说哪家公司宣告破产了，你就可以说 the firm went into bankruptcy。A squander 呢，如果是浪费这个矿物燃料，我们呢可能会受到这些呢不好的后果。我们也可以说 to squander our fossil fuels。最后一句提到 ，He fled to Belgium in 1851 to escape his creditors and died penniless in 1870 at Dumas Fells Estate in France。而他在1851年逃到比利时是为了躲开他的债主，这里的 creditors 指的就是债权人。而且呢，在1870年在小仲马位于法国的庄园里面去世，而他死的时候则是身无分文。在这里的 penniless 是主词补语，所以我们用形容词的方式来表达。OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that's all for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. But hey, you gotta join us again next time when we go back to our featured novel and talk about some of the themes and ideas that you might be interested in. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.